Like the blunt, my nigga. Pass his beat to the left so I could press. Told on my hits like I done wrecked. Who is next? Niggas asleep like pillow pets. Getting foreign head from a bad bitch from Budapest. Call your bet, cause I'm just trying to get a quick check, then rest.
Going. Lights, camera. It's all about that action. What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, Son of the Waves. This is What's the Wave. We have another great episode right for y'all today. Thank y'all for tuning in wherever you may be watching. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, tell your auntie because this is her favorite podcast. And today we got the skills to pay the bills because I got a coach in the building today. I got Coach Bracy, Mr. Brandon in the building. Thank you for pulling up. How you doing today, my guy?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, bro. As we discussed before the podcast, I was just talking about, you know, just local, being in the city, local connections. We got a lot of mutuals just on the socials, just in person. So it seemed only right to just bring Coach on. I see what you've been doing from afar. Mutual friend, shout out Mr. Joey. He been doing this thing, doing coaching Team Rampage.
Shout out Joey.
Big inspiration in my life, just professionally and personally. So it felt so right just to bring you on and to talk about what you've been doing just for the kids, for hoop, for sports, and for the community. So we're going to get into it. I got a lot of good questions for y'all. It's the month of June, so I got a rapid wave of questions that I want you to definitely tackle. We haven't even previewed on that, so I want to keep those fresh on your mind. Good sports talk, you know, NBA playoffs for sure. It's finna wrap up. You know, these conference championships is in full swing. Very, very exciting. Warriors fan? No, I'm not even a Warriors fan. That's good. I would say, see, I got Kenny the nickname, but we ain't got to talk about him because, you feel me, they been home. So, and then we're going to wrap up the podcast with talking about the brand that you are, with the skills camp, the coach that you are, and everything like that. So let's get into it. First of all, I've been having my monthly campaigns with What's the Wave. I had a multi-talented January, a Black History February, a Health is Wealth March, so on and so forth. The month of June, Super June. I'm a big superhero fan. I just watched that Doctor Strange, little stuff like that. So I'm a superhero geek. So I've been asking my guests as I bring them on, what do you feel is your superpower, or maybe one of those ways you show your superpower, whether it be personally, at home, in your family, and you know, in your household, or professionally with the brand that you are, because you do work with youth and you do a lot of stuff in the community. So can you speak on how do you feel you show your superpower?
For me, just kind of like tying everything in, I think, you know, my superhero strength is being able to multitask.
Come on now.
You know, being a father, being able to run a business, coach plenty of games with, you know, when you're coaching, you got unlimited amount of kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, dealing with that, and then, you know, like coming home, being a good boyfriend and father as well. So being able to deal with that and then still have time to edit videos for, you know, my YouTube channel, or market, or tell everybody, hey man, we got practice tomorrow, and then tell, you know, Coach Joey, for example, hey man, we got a tournament next weekend. So it's just being able to put on different hats,
real
and
talk,
not really get too tired. Sometimes you get, you know, overwhelmed sometimes, but you know, I'm here.
Come on now. I say that, I feel like I say this every week, because every person I bring on, I say we're in a game of spinning plates. You know, you see like in the cartoons, they got a stick and a plate and everybody spinning, they got two hands and on the foot and on the foot.
Right.
That's what we doing as adults. You know, you got your job, exactly, relationships, professional life, personal life. So I see you in the game of spinning plates, but keep it going. We see it from a distance. It's working out, man.
For sure.
You're not trying, you're doing.
Right.
You're doing
this
thing. So that is a major superpower. It's not for everybody.
No,
not everybody can do
not.
It. So congratulations. Keep that up. Keep that up for sure. But getting into the next topic, you work with what I mentioned just now, you work with a lot of youth. Me personally, I work with the youth as well. I've been working with kids, after school programs, little stuff like that for a couple years now, summer camps and all that. So I really wanted to get your perspective on the city. We're both from the city of Vallejo, you feel me? Born and raised and everything. So over time, you've been out here for a while. Now you work with the kids. You used to be a kid out here. Now you see what they like now, for real.
Right.
So can you speak maybe just to the evolution of the youth? Where do you see it is heading? More positive, like you can speak to the pros and the cons of it, because you know the streets is a real thing. You doing the sports thing helps, you know, keep them out of that and the stuff like that. But there's a lot of different dynamics that goes into just, you feel me, the youth of the city. So where have you seen it evolved since you've been a youth and as you've grown older?
That's a good question. I mean, for me, you know, being 30 years old now, so 90s, early 90s baby,
right,
and how Vallejo used to be when I was a kid, you know, technology wasn't the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Vallejo that, you know, people of my age and of course older can remember is, you know, Vallejo with no technology as far as everybody was outside.
I say out playing.
Yeah,
playing.
You know, you drive down the street, you see kids playing at the park, playing basketball outdoors, scooters, skateboards, riding bikes. I mean, you know, it was a lot of different things going on. And I think once technology hit, I think it really started to change probably when I was in high school a little bit.
Yeah.
So, actually. Yeah, once I got about 2000 and I graduated high school 2009. So once 2007 came, so you had like, you know, the early technology, Sidekicks.
Sidekicks, I would say more
social media, MySpace, things like that.
Yeah, all that stuff start popping off Facebook.
Right. So, and, you know, I was, you know, in high school dealing with that, but like I had a little, I have a little brother at the time. He probably was in fourth grade, third grade, but his introduction to technology was a lot earlier.
Yeah, facts.
So I just think a lot of the kids that came maybe after myself and a little bit younger class, I think technology has changed the city of Vallejo because I think a lot of kids are playing outside because they're so distracted.
Yes. They glued to them screens. They glued to them screens for sure.
But it's still dangerous though because a lot of stuff that's happening in the city with the youth are starting from technology.
Facts.
You know, on the phones or arguments or Instagrams.
They exposed to a lot more on them phones. Right. For sure. And the parents are doing less monitoring of what they're watching and just sticking that screen in front of their kid's face to entertain them, to get them to stop crying or to occupy their time. So,
and I know you work with kids, so it's like you go to an after school program and these kids are glued to their phone.
But it's wild. Like, you have those group of dynamics. When I was a kid, even like I said, I graduated high school 2013. So I was probably 4 or 5 years behind you. But even that being said, in middle school and stuff like that, we loved open gym. Like, we craved going outside. That's all. We didn't want to be anything inside. As long as we could just go run around and play, that's what we craved. But now it's a lot different with this generation. Like you said, with the technology, even what I was talking about it with somebody, what these kids are asking for Christmas.
Oh,
it's
my
not
goodness.
Even a skate, like you said, skateboards or scooters or a bike. It's more, I want points for Fortnite. I want Xbox game cards. I want VC coins. Yeah, like the whole dynamic has shifted as far as just the influence of technology.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from a basketball standpoint, like when I was in high school, there were so many people outside playing that you literally can put together a really good team of kids that did not have grades.
Yeah,
because they were playing every day outside and just never, you know, either got in trouble or just never was a good student.
Yeah,
and there were good players. Now it's like, if you're not a basketball player, they're probably not playing basketball nowhere else.
That's wild. Just I don't even think about that. Like when kids were bored, they used to hoop in the back. Like you say, even the kids that didn't apply themselves maybe at school, they a hoop regardless.
Right.
Nowadays, they doing whatever.
Yeah,
they're
whatever.
Streaming or just running it up on the internet, doing some old crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So, no, that's a great point. Especially with the youth of Vallejo, I've seen it because us kind of, like you said, growing up here, we've been there. We came from that soil of seeing what it used to be like. And everybody used to be outside. It's wild now. Wow. But it definitely plays a role. Kind of taking it from kind of the local aspect to the national spotlight, I also want to get your perspective working so closely with hoop. I'm pretty sure you watch a lot of NBA, college, and stuff like that from all levels of hoop. What do you feel about has been going on with now the advent of technology and social media with the athlete versus the commentator? And kind of now we have Pat Beverly talking crap about Chris Paul, all these Charles Barkley's always in the media, these ex-players and stuff like that. How do you feel like this dynamic has been circulating recently with social media and athletes going back at commentators like Stephen A. or Skip Bayless and all this other stuff, Colin Cowherd, and so when a commentator says something who hasn't played the game,
right?
How do you think that is responded by from a professional athlete? Do you think they're right, they're wrong, should respect maybe their platform, or how do you see that dynamic?
I think what the public has to understand is for years and years and years, these commentators that these players are critical on,
right,
have played a huge part in them earning or losing money because they're the ones that have to, you know, go and do the votes for, you know, MVP or first team. Like, you know, I seen Draymond second team all defense. That makes no sense to me.
Right.
But when you got the votes,
when you got that power.
Yeah. So I think now with social media and technology here, the players are they're controlling their narratives.
Yeah.
And they're calling out the ones that they know, you know, may have a hand in voting, where before, you know, whatever the media said, like Allen Iverson was one of my favorite players growing up. Whatever the media said about Iverson, it was going to hit the front page. Right. There's nothing he could do about it.
Right. And just, he's having to take it on the chin or not.
Now it's kind of like, okay, he's lying.
Yeah.
This is what happened. Don't listen to him. And then
the players do have a voice now. We kind of been through that whole shut up and dribble movement and stuff like that, where that was, I feel like, a big linchpin of where we've seen that, like, commentators being like, oh, even though it's kind of out of bounds because of some crazy white woman who doesn't even cover sports, kind of initiated that whole process of kind of gaslighting that. You do see that where athletes come to defend themselves and can control that narrative with social media, with other avenues and other platforms. Now people got podcasts and stuff like that to where they can speak out. So it's a lot more conversation going back and forth. Yeah. But a lot of good stuff has, I feel like, arose from it. Now you see players opening up, being able to be more comfortable talking to the commentator. So
yeah, I think it's big. I think it's big, you know, because like, now, like, a lot of players are critical on, like, the Charles Barkley's, the Kendrick Perkins, but just wait, like, another 10, 15 years when Draymond's in that same seat.
Legit.
So now you're going to have players that, you know, are young or not even in the NBA yet critical on what Draymond may say or Pat Bev. So, but I would rather, you know, a former player, you know, speak it, because he's going to come from experience.
Yeah.
Those that haven't played can still have a voice. It's just
how you present it.
Yeah. You know?
It's not what you're saying, it's how you say it sometimes.
Right, right. Because, I mean, there are some good ones that, you know, may have not had the NBA experience, but I would listen to their input just because of the way they approach and talk to people. So
the way they articulate. Like, I ain't going to lie, like, you brought up Kendrick Perkins. When he first became a commentator, I wasn't fucking with, bro. I'm not even going to lie. I was just like, bro, you hella annoying. But I've seen his progression, and now he's a better commentator. Right. So now the way he says the facts that he's actually trying to articulate, I respond to him and I listen to him more, because I'm like, okay, KP. Because at first, you used to be on some nonsense. Like Paul Pierce. I hate Paul Pierce as a commentator. I promise you I do. He be talking some crazy stuff.
Some of them be holding on to certain things, too, though. That's the thing.
And they kind of that ex-player where it kind of goes to their detriment.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
But it's funny to me. I think it's hilarious. Keeping it in the hoop realm, we're in the playoffs, and the four remaining teams are the Warriors, Dallas, Boston, Miami. Can't really say there's really no super teams left. I mean, so with that being said, do you feel that era is done and dead with? Are we shifting to a new ground? What was it? Last year, it was a year like the dynamic duos. Mm-hmm. Everybody had two star players. You feel me? You got Brooklyn, the Lakers, and, you know, everybody like that. And they didn't even make the playoffs this year.
Right.
So what is your perspective? Do you see kind of the professional league as far as the NBA shifting into more of a less star dominated team, you feel me, monstar driven league, or do you see it kind of shifting back, or like a pendulum swinging back and forth? Because you still got I want to say baby super teams. I mean, like, you got your dynamic dudes like in Brooklyn in LA, and stuff like that, but now you got a lot of your Jazz teams, your Mavericks, your Memphis. Your Boston's. I mean, you got, like, you know, your Tatum's and Browns, you know, so it's like 1A, 1Bs instead of 1, 2, and 3s. Where do you see the league going towards?
I don't think super teams are over.
Yeah, I don't see it, you know.
I don't think they're over. I think it's a lot of factors.
What do you think is better? Would you like the super team era? I mean, the last five years?
I'm a Spurs fan, so I like everything organically built.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. I think this year it was just unfortunate that a lot of the super teams were hurt.
That's valid.
Clippers, Nets, Lakers were all injured, you know. Yeah. So I think that plays a huge part. The next thing is, I think your smaller market teams, like your Memphis or, you know, who else, like a Utah, those teams have watched the bigger markets thrive. So I think they've become a little smarter on how they build their teams. Like, we're not going to get this dude because he's a flashy guy that wants to be in the limelight. He won't stay in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
let's go get this. You know, like Dallas is a decent city, but you know, when you compare Dallas to being in New York or LA, it doesn't compare. Facts, so let me get somebody that's not from here, like Luka.
Right,
he's not gonna care.
You see, they went from Dirk to Luka,
right?
And like you said, they just beautiful.
Yeah, I think you know, you do have to be smarter building your teams if you're not a big market.
Yeah,
but I don't think super teams are over.
Yeah, I see it. I am a, guess maybe that's that old school in me. I like it better without it.
Right,
but I see the value in it because it does add a dynamic. But it was kind of boring with the Warriors run, knowing who's going to be in the finals at the end of the day. Of course, you want to see how the season plays out and stuff like that.
Right. I get a lot of flack because I'm a Spurs fan, so people think I hate on the Warriors. But I actually don't think the Warriors were a super team even when they had Kevin Durant.
I can't see. Once KD went there, it was officially super.
Yes.
Because they was already dope, homegrown, 7-3-9 without him. Like I said, I can't argue that.
Yeah.
Like, you had the Splash Bros, Draymond. That was...
Durant just put them
that
like...
That was just like, yeah. Cousin. That was still...
It was
still
super
too much
in terms of the parody.
That's what I'm saying. There was none at all at that point. Like, it was just, come on now. It's just give them the chip. You already know what it is.
Yeah.
Shout out LeBron for rivaling them. You feel me?
Yeah.
Doing what he got to do, but...
LeBron left the Heat a little too early. He probably wish he would have stayed if he knew Kevin Durant was coming.
That's a conversation for sure. But you got me thinking already because D-Wade was kind of this box was still you feel me health wise but you might have been on some but yeah, I don't think that super team is going. The super team era is quite yet dead. We'll see what happens this offseason though.
Yeah, that'd be
a lot of interesting moves. I feel like the last probably like 5 years of offseasons for the NBA has been like crazy exciting.
Somebody, you know, crazy a trade nobody expects
star
or something
players,
like that.
Yeah, star players moving with Kawhi's and Russell Westbrook, they moved to three teams in three different years. Like, oh, it's getting wild. It's getting wild.
I mean, LeBron's in that 5 years. Yeah,
legit,
Lakers. Yeah.
Legit. But we're going to hold it there for now. We're going to talk a little bit more sports, especially with the playoffs and the NFL offseason around. But it's the month of June. I'm a superhero nerd geek for sure. My favorite superhero is The Flash. I got to hit you with a rapid wave of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these questions, pick either or. Nice and simple. Nothing too deep. Some of them you're going to have to simmer on and definitely meditate on a little bit. Take your time if you need to. If not, just give me the honest answer as you can. First of all, I need to know apple juice or orange juice?
Orange juice.
Okay, that's off the rip. Let me get a grape jelly or strawberry?
Grape.
See, that's my guy right there. I fucks with you. 90s, baby. Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network. And that's tough. I could have threw
I'm going to say Nickelodeon because of Skeeter.
I fucks with it. As you get to become an OG, would you rather retire in a beach house or a cabin? Cabin in the woods, cabin on the lake.
Beach house.
Beach house for sure. He's like, yeah, I'm a cabin.
I can't do the woods. Watch too many scary movies.
That's factual. Would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Too hot.
Too hot. So yeah, I could agree. Next one, if you could bend any element, fire, water, earth, air, if you can control or be a bender of any of those four elements, which one? You can say why if you want to. It's hard.
Ooh, man, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say water.
Water?
Okay. Yeah.
Gotta keep it solid. I fucks with it.
Since it's the strongest.
Okay,
yeah,
I got you. All right, rank these from best to worst. It's only three of them: pancakes, waffles, French toast.
Ooh, best to worst.
Best to worst.
I probably have to go. Oh man, this is tough.
French toast is my number one. That's off the rip for me. But
I'm gonna go waffle first.
Okay,
and I'm probably being a little biased just because I was just in LA eating Roscoe's.
Ooh, yeah, that's some shit.
If it's made like that, waffle first.
Facts.
If it's Lego Mango, waffle last.
Factual.
But yeah, let's go waffle, French toast, pancakes.
Okay,
yeah.
I could get with it. Choice of alcohol.
Anything dark, clear. Can't do clear.
I got you. And I feel like I know what you're going to say, but if you could go pro in any sport, what sport would it be? Let me get this one. Other than basketball,
yeah, I was gonna do it too. Yep. I'd probably say track. I ran track in high school.
Nice. Yeah. Track star. Yeah. I like that. Okay.
Middle distance.
And last but not least, and you can include basketball in this, and this could be board game, video game, actual sport, random game. What is a game that you never lose in? That, like, just nobody's fucking with you in. Like, just something random. Mine's is like ping pong, little shit like that. It could be random game. It could be tech decking. It could be skateboarding. It could be a video game. Fortnite.
I'm going to say.
Monopoly. It could be whatever.
This is going to be funny because a couple of viewers going to be watching. I'm losing Mortal Kombat.
Ooh. One of the new ones? Like a 10, 11 on them?
Definitely 10, 11. The older ones too, for sure.
Talk your shit.
But Mortal Kombat for sure.
Okay. That's all I need to see. Okay. That's going to wrap it up. Yes, yes. Nice little rapid fire. I like that. That was a good little barrage for sure. Always like to tap in with my guests because I like to be put on to new music, new media, new stuff to stay on the lookout for. What have you been listening to lately? What's been on your playlist? Maybe on the way here, pulling up to the studio, on your way to practice, anything like that? What's been on your playlist maybe this past week or so?
Man, it changed like so much, man. Come on, music be dropping.
It could be new school, old school, you feel me?
You know, I do stick with the home team. Shout out DP.
Yeah.
Lil Pete.
Come on.
You know, I mess with Lil Pete. Of Da Boy dropped a banger. I like his new tape.
Yes, sir.
Outside of that, probably, of course, Draco.
Shout out Draco, yeah. For sure.
Who else? Ralphie. I've been listening out. He dropped so much. So
yeah. A lot of stuff to keep up with.
Yeah, Ralphie. Mm. I don't know why I've been listening to more Gunna. I don't know. I've been a Gunna fan, but what? Ever since the
I'm not a huge YSL person listener like Thug.
Me either. I'm not. Yeah, Gunna's probably the one. I mean, Thug, I know he's there. I know he's, you know, dope at what he is. But out of all of them, Gunna's probably the only one I really listen to just because it's not all.
Put me on something.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's just like a wide range. Then I might listen to all that and then throw, I don't know, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire on if I'm just trying to be chill. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Throw it to the throwback.
Yeah, my dad was a singer back in the day, so.
Okay, yeah, so you got a different ear.
Yeah, different ear.
Different ear, yeah. for sure. Yeah, I got a very selective ear myself, so completely understand. But that's good to know. TV movies. I know you're a very busy man, so you might not have a lot of time to sit down and just watch a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do have time to do so, what do you usually throw on?
I'm mostly a YouTube guy, like all the way through.
Yeah, I'm a podcaster. I'm a movie. I am athlete. Yeah. I'm an 85 Souther. I'm a YouTube person.
I like watching YouTube channels. 85 South. That's definitely one. Mm-hmm. Who else channel I've been tapped into?
All the smoke.
That's easy. Anything.
I fuck with the Pivot too.
The Pivot. Yeah, I like the Pivot too.
Ryan Clark and Channing.
I like Draymond. Draymond's show is pretty cool.
I like
cool.
The Bones. I like the he got the Domino show. I like that shit. Yep. I've been recently on a little T-Pain. Got a little streaming thing. I've been watching that a little bit.
I gotta check that out.
T-Pain. He been having a podcast with some guests and stuff. I've been dabbling in it a little bit. So.
Yeah. Nah, those. You know, you can pick up stuff and learn from just the stuff that's on there and with the guests.
Man, the common theme, last couple episodes I had, YouTube University, man. Go check them out. Anything you need to learn, hop on YouTube.
And then if I want drama, like, you know, I'm not like a, you know, love and hip hop type, but
Power, are you Power BMF?
Oh, yeah, Power BMF.
Snowfall,
for sure.
All that? Yeah, okay.
Power BMF for sure.
I got you.
Yeah, and then, I might just listen to, like, you know, I'm going to watch Say Cheese interviews, depending on who's on there. And then, I don't know, man, Wack 100 just keeps popping up on my YouTube. Hey,
it's real, yeah. That algorithm be real.
Man, I mean, some of the stuff, you know, he says some crazy stuff, but he says a lot of good stuff, though, if you really tap into him. So
factual.
Yeah, so I'll be all over the place, man. You know, I'm mostly like YouTube, though.
Come on now. Gotta stay well equipped, you know, expand those horizons for sure. So. That's good. We're going to keep it moving as far as kind of current topics. Let's shift it strictly into the sports now because the NBA playoffs are here. Mm-hmm. Full swing. We in the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals. NFL's in the offseason, but we'll keep it with the hoop to start it off. Miami is up 2-1 on Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Initial gut feeling, who do you think going to pull it out?
I think it's going 7. I like the way Miami's looking. I've changed every game,
yeah,
because I just felt like Boston, how they looked against Milwaukee and how they came out in game 2, I'm like, yeah, Boston might go. But the more I think about it, I mean, the Warriors and Miami would be a really good series to me.
You think so? I feel like Boston would give the Warriors a harder matchup. And assuming I'm with you that the Warriors are going to take care of the Mavs, probably in, I give Luka 5, but maybe in 6. Who knows? But I feel like Boston would be the better matchup.
I think they're
just defensively and lengthwise. Yeah,
I think defensively, you know, they got guys that they can put as that they can throw on Steph, like Smart and Tatum. But I think Miami's deeper. So like,
and that's why I see this that series playing out is like the defensive prowess of Boston, but the grittiness and that internal something of Miami.
They all just believe
like that intangible, like, that tangible just, of Miami. You can't really pinpoint that.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, they have a lot of guys that can go. Yeah. Some of like with Duncan Robinson, I don't think he played at all in the second round.
For real?
Yeah.
Shit.
That's how deep they are. I mean,
they got options.
Yeah, they have. They can kind of match. They can go small. They can go big. I like what Miami has. And I'm a huge Jimmy Butler fan, just because of his story and his upbringing.
Facts.
But I think Miami's gonna win. I do think it's gonna go 7 though.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like I said, but yeah, Jimmy Butler, I love. I'm a fan. Tobias Harris over me.
Yeah,
he rolling. He was like, could you imagine if Jimmy was still in Philly? Like, that'd be a whole nother story.
Jimmy was still in a lot of places, man. Right. Everywhere he's been, they've gotten better.
Yeah, and damn near gotten worse since he left. Almost.
Right.
Yeah,
I think Chicago is one that when Derrick Rose, that era, everybody was hoping he gets healthy. He was holding it down while he was hurt.
Legit. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. Okay. Glad to see that. So, and going back to the West, I feel like we kind of both on the same page.
Oh,
Warriors going to take care of the Mavs.
Yeah, Warriors.
I'm of the opinion, and I'll throw this question at you. If I were to start a franchise with any player in the league right now, I'm picking Luka. If I had fantasy draft, just off the rip.
Just one?
LeBron, yeah, but he's 37 now.
He's
but
in his own
platform. He in his own class. But if I just bought the Vallejo Rampage and we in the NBA, you feel me, right now, I'm picking Luka.
Picking Luka?
What about you? Who you starting your franchise with? I hear a lot of Jason Tatum. I hear a lot of Ja. I hear a lot of Jokic. You feel me? So
that's a good one. I think I understand Luka's just because Luka is an all around player. He's gonna get you 40 points. Gonna get you. Seven,
I feel like
eight rebounds.
If they give Luka a good number two, it's a wrap. But go ahead. Yeah. What about you? Who you starting your franchise with today? Embiid, maybe.
I'm gonna start it with Giannis.
Yeah, see, that's real. Yeah,
I'm gonna start it.
Damn near got it.
Yeah, I'm gonna start it. I'm gonna start it with Giannis just because. I mean, his size and what he can do on both sides of the floor. That's the only thing I'm a little critical on with Luka.
As
a defender.
The defense,
I think if that's the next step. He's still young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the next step. Because even Steph improved his defense throughout the years.
Right.
So I think that's the only thing he got to do is being able to guard.
No question, Giannis elite. Giannis is an elite defender.
I would probably say Giannis.
That makes perfect sense. No, for real. Giannis is doing his thing. I was surprised Jokic won MVP this season, to be honest. I would have gave it to Embiid.
Me too.
Me personally. But, hey, you see the narrative for MVP change every season. That's one thing.
Four straight international players, man. I don't know what's going on. Giannis deserves his.
Yeah, for sure.
And, I mean.
Well, they both went back-to-back.
Right.
So, you know.
Jokic, I would have gave him the MVP last year. Jokic deserved it last year.
Right. This year,
I felt like Embiid should have got it.
He did a lot more with a lot less, for sure.
Yeah.
But okay, NFL talk. We talked a lot about the hoop. Let's talk about the gridiron. Yo squad, you said Cowboys fan. I get a lot of flack being a Bay Area Charger fan, so I can relate about getting a lot of hate. If you're not, basically what we're trying to say, if you're from the Bay and you don't like a Bay Area team, you get fucking all the flack in the world.
Since I was a kid.
Exactly. I say it's just regardless. That's what's going to happen. Being a Cowboy fan, speak to your team's offseason and expectations. Y'all division is crazy. I don't even want to talk about y'all division because it's always like, shit, pick them.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I would say it's between y'all and Philly for sure.
Philly with A.J. Brown.
Philly did a lot of stuff in the offseason.
They did.
So being a Cowboys fan, I hope you give me a realistic expectation. What do you think is going to happen come next season? You give me a record if you want to, 17 games. Do y'all think y'all going to reach double-digit wins? Maybe go 10-7, 11-6.
I would say 10-7, 11-6 is realistic. The tough thing about being a realistic Cowboy fan, like, of course, we all believe we're going to win every year.
Right.
But last year was, man, the way we went out was hard.
Y'all went out very sad.
Like, I don't think Cowboy fans recovered.
Y'all lost,
recovered.
Like, y'all last, like, five of
I mean, we six games, we won a couple late games, but something it was the like Niner that. Loss.
Yeah. The Niners was on a run. They ended hot.
They did.
So whoever was in their path just got trailblazed.
It was just more of like how we lost. I mean, we lost the game with Dak Prescott sliding in the middle of the field.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so for me, it's like I've seen us have really good off seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like unbiasedly felt like we had the best team.
Fact, y'all had talent
in the first round or may not make the playoffs. So this year we've been quiet for the most part. I mean, we lost Cooper,
mm-hmm. y'all did.
But lost by addition possibly because I think CD's gonna get the ball a little bit more.
Right.
So that's good.
If he can step up and do his thing.
Right. We got the offense.
The Cowboys, who you think are gonna have a successful season in that division. I mean, it's not too hard, to be mm-hmm. honest. I'll stay away from the Chargers because we're going to have a dogfight in our division with Russell coming to the Broncos, the Raiders bulking up, the Chiefs ain't going nowhere anytime soon. But we did our thing in offseason, but I got confidence in my squad. Hopefully, I think we'll probably win about 10, 11 games hopefully mm-hmm. as well. So, but other than that, let's keep it moving. Quick shout out to my sponsors real quick, Vintage Variation. Shout out to them. All your vintage apparel needs from head to toe, hats, clothing, jackets, starter caps, everything for women, for men, for children. Please go check them out. Give them a follow. Shout out to my other sponsor, Become Cosmetics. They doing a little rebrand. I know everybody be like, why you got a little lip gloss thing on your podcast all the time? Don't worry, because they got something coming for you. So please stay tuned for that. And number three, of course, Real Real Productions. All this equipment, if you need your own podcast kind of equipment supplied, some point and shoot editing, anything like that, holla at your boy, Real Real Productions. Always holding it down for What's the Wave. But let's get into the main reason why we're here, because we have a mentor, a role model, a coach in the community that's putting on for the youth of the city, which is I'm super glad for because I work with them myself. So like I said, I have a great respect for you for doing so as well.
Appreciate
but
it.
I need the full story arc. You feel me? I need to know where it started, where it's going, and kind of some things that happened in between. So yeah, hit me with kind of where it started. Which has basketball always been in you since the youth? Has you always seen yourself being a coach, even leading a skills camp? Outside of that, I know you're in the AAU circuit and stuff like that. So just give me kind of the origin story where all of this kind of got birthed for you.
As far as basketball, I did not think I was going to be a coach. That was mm-hmm. not the plan.
Right.
for several different reasons. I mean, I was still playing. Of course, when you're a player, everybody thinks they're going to the NBA.
Right.
But even when that kind of hit reality that it wasn't going to happen, mm-hmm. I still didn't see myself coaching.
Yeah.
It just kind of just fell on my lap. I mean, my brother and his peers, shout out Malcolm, he's Bethel alum.
Come on.
And, a couple others like X Slaps and,
nice, nice.
Chris that you had on
shout
here.
Shout out Jesco, Chris.
So yes, a lot of those guys, they wanted to play. They knew I had experience playing.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of them, I mean, not all of them, but for most of them, they were kind of, when they were in sixth, seventh grade, they were playing AAU. Mm-hmm. And some of them had good coaches. Some of them were just there.
Yeah, just lollygagging and stuff.
Yeah, so kind of when that phased out, my brother's old AAU coach had moved to Sacramento. So he didn't have an AAU team no more.
Mm.
So what happened, all right, man, I can work on you some stuff. I mean, I'm still in shape. I'm still playing, right, but, you know.
I know some things.
Yeah, I'll show you things here. And so that turned into, him and X come in. I'm showing them things.
Right.
Now two more comes in. Now I'm showing them things. And I look back, I'm like, oh, damn, I'm coaching now.
Yeah, legit.
You know what I mean? Right. So
just walked into it.
Yeah, and we just start having AAU games. I started off coaching with Vallejo Knights.
Okay.
Coach Bailey, who's been working at Franklin for years.
Nice, nice.
So I started off coaching there, and I had those guys, Malcolm and all them. And then I was still playing. So I was mm-hmm. doing that in off season.
Right.
So once I went back to SoCal to finish playing, once that was over, I'm like, okay, now what's next? And I came back, hit them up. We start training, coaching again. Then it turned in a couple years later, I want to do my own AAU now.
Come on.
And it just kept going.
Yeah.
And so, when they graduated high school, I didn't think I was going to keep it going, honestly.
You just thought like, hey, had my run. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, because I mean, I kind of got lucky. Yeah. I didn't have to really, when I did a tryout, I didn't really have to find, I already had kids.
Right.
To have a team, it right. was just more kids. But once they graduated, I'm like, man, I don't know who, right. I don't know who I'm going to
have. Exactly, yeah, at that point.
But, you know, people kept DMing and, hey, man, you know, when do you train? Or I'm interested in the AAU program.
Yeah.
Hand to hand. Somebody might hit me up for training and then find out I have an AAU team and they'll play like that. So one always helped the other.
Yeah.
And it just kept going. It sounded
like it was a snowball effect.
That it really happened. Was. Yeah. I mean, it was a long, traction. It was a long grind, but each year I didn't think I was going to get, not because I was doubting it, but just I wasn't thinking that far. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And now you hear. Yeah. Like you said, it just. And one of the terms I use, it grows better when it's organic. And
right.
It seems like you just have a genuine love for the game, for your city, for the kids here. Right. Like you got a passion for them. And it just happened, like you said, to just grow into something massive.
Right.
And now, there ain't no stopping it now. You're rolling downhill full force.
Yeah, nah, definitely, man. Mm-hmm.
I like to ask my guests, I need two examples or two circumstances that you remember. I need a speed bump, a hiccup, one of those hard times, a hurdle you had to overcome. Entering maybe this coaching realm, maybe might be exactly finding kids to play for the team, just getting people to believe in you, back you, support you as a brand, and then transition to a feel-good moment to where something clicked, to where it might have been your first tournament win or a certain kid you wanted on your team or a parent's just showing you a certain amount of love. Give me a dynamic of both. Give me one of the hardships and then one of those feel-good moments.
The hardships was like in the beginning, dude. Like, cause like, I mean, it's still things that go on today, but it's just different type of problems. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. But at the beginning, it was, who are these kids? Random kids. Hey, man, are you a player or a coach? People didn't even know I was coaching because I was so young.
Right.
So makes like, sense. I would walk in the gyms and the referee would be looking around like, where's y'all coach? And I'm like, hey.
I'm right. It's me.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I thought you said my older brother or something.
Yeah. And, you know, because I was 23 starting it. And so one of the biggest hardships I had to deal with was trying to rent a van. Cause I wasn't 25.
You can't rent a car.
And all the kids that were playing with me needed rides. Their parents wasn't going, so we had a tournament in Vegas. I'm like, dang, I don't know how I'm gonna get this van. Like, So man, I have my uncle. Shout out Uncle Kevin. He helped me. He helped give me a van through his job because he works for Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, did it everything right. Had my uncle there. He went on the trip with us as well. Mm-hmm. So he was 25. He was able to, you know, get us there. And,
yeah.
You know.
Use your resources to help it happen.
But fast forward to a feel-good moment, like, I bring it kind of to the times now where it's like, not just because I'm older and I'm 25, I can go get a van. But it's like, you know, sometimes when you deal with hardships, it's only a hardships got expiration dates on it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Ooh, I love that. Hardships got expiration days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sooner or later, you're going to be old enough to, you know, be able to maneuver. But the real feel-good moment was me basically going from, you know, being on the sideline and people didn't even know if I was a player or coach till now, like, they kind of know who we are.
People call you Coach Bracy.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like they know who we are. And then not just for myself, but, like, the entire staff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, Joey works with us. You know, shout out Joey.
Yeah, for sure.
So now it's like they see that it's not just me.
Yeah.
There's other good coaches that do the same thing, have the same goals. They love the game the same way.
Facts.
So now, you know, it's not a one man show.
It's not a one man band. Come on now.
So now we all have issues as far as like what we need to do to get better. We all just bouncing ideas off each other.
It's a collab.
Yeah. So we're doing it together to help. You know, the kids and, you know, getting back to your superhero, that's kind of
exactly.
Like,
you that's know, your superpower.
It's the Avengers.
Y'all gotta bring them together, the Avengers, man. You know, save the whole world.
That's a feel-good moment is, you know, me basically trying to figure everything out solo because that's all I was at the beginning until now. We got a team.
You know? Got a whole squad behind y'all, man. Yeah. That's so major. And to see it firsthand and seeing it kind of grow and propel and just affect multiple generations of youth, like you said, Chris being a person a little bit like a year or two younger than me, but you see impact him in impacting kids now, with me working in an after school program, kids in my after school program that I've known since third grade, who are now sixth graders, who are finna be go to high school.
Yeah,
and
amazing.
They just reference, oh, you still Team Rampage, Mr. Joe, all of that just coming full circle. That's right. Major. And What's the Wave just wants you to know, this is us giving you your flowers. Like, you feel me? You've been doing it. A lot of people say they're out here trying to do this, trying to make impact. You're doing it, bro. You're doing it, and that's what we're here to recognize. That's why we bring you on, because, like you said, it's major.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
Not for everybody.
It's crazy that you touched on the different people, because we actually, our first year, we actually had Slimmy B on our team.
Like little shit. Like, like, I'm just saying, little shit like that. That's Slimmy, Real Vallejo. Slimmy, shout out Real Vallejo.
Shout out Slimmy, man. Yeah, he played on that first Rampage team. Like, mm-hmm. It's crazy thinking about it, because now, you know, back then he would, you know, say little things like, "Yeah, I'm probably gonna hit the studio."
Yeah,
and he was good.
Right. Yeah, know? He was good. Yeah,
and I'm like, dude, you gotta come to the gym.
Yeah,
like,
come get to the gym.
Yeah, and then, you know, 2 years later, Anti drops, and now I'm like, okay,
stay in that stool, man, stay in the booth, man.
You, man. Now we going to games, listening to his music,
right?
You know,
warming up to the shoot around,
right,
to that,
yeah. And I think it's just stuff like that. That's kind of like, I think that's the beauty of working with kids,
yeah,
because you're still working with them at when they're ground zero. They don't know what they want to do. They're still
developing, find what they good at.
Yeah. So, you know, to see it all turning, you're going to definitely, if you're not already, you're going to see it, you know, when the kids get older, they get in high school or even adults, like, man, I remember you couldn't even tie your shoes correctly. Now you got your own business. And you know,
it's real, bro. Yeah. It's real. Yeah. I'm experiencing it in real time as you are. But to wrap up this wonderful episode, what can I expect? What can the people expect from what's next, from not just you as a coach, but the skills camp? Bracey Skills Camp is its own thing. Mm-hmm. The summertime's happening. Any events you got going on, camps, promotions, any type of work you've been putting in, this is your chance to tell everybody what all the layout, this is the red carpet being laid out for you. What can the people expect from the entity that you are?
And we have our summer school signups going right now. We're basically just training in the morning times. We call it summer school just because we try to get people coming at least 4 to 5 days a week, so where it's like a real course where they're just working on basketball. We do conditioning and at the summer school. We run hills, a lot of mile sprints. So that's Bracey Skills Clinic. That's what I'm going to be doing all summer.
Nice.
From June 13th till, you know, August. You know, everybody got different start dates.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, that's basically for Bracey Skills Clinic. You're going to basically just be seeing videos from training summer, and we do it right in Vallejo. You know, we do it at Cedarquist Park and College Park.
Hell yeah.
And then we run hills, sometimes Magazine Street, Kentucky Street, and then we might even run the waterfront. So you'll see us
come
out
on now.
Yeah, you'll see us out. That's basically what we got this summer. And then from the coaching side, we'll just be traveling a lot for AAU.
I'm about to say AAU circuit happened over the summer.
Yeah, so July is a big month. June is like a down month because everybody goes back to their high schools, do the summer league. But July, we're going to L.A. twice again.
Okay.
And then we're going to San Diego at the end of July. So we'll be we'll be on the road a little bit.
Major moves. Sound like they being made, bro.
Yeah, man. Trying to get these kids scholarships, man. We got this year, our second Division One kid, our second kid get offered by a Division One.
Talk your shit. School. Come on.
Second straight year. First year, shout out Myron Amy. He's at San Jose State.
Yes, sir. And,
Will Heimbrot, who's at, he's still trying to figure out where he's going to go, but he got his first scholarship offer from Seattle U.
Nice. Come on.
So other schools are tapping in. So that's good.
Great, man. Yeah. Love to see what you're building. Love to see what you're growing out here. Excited to see what you got coming for this summer and not the rest of the year. And excited because What's the Wave will be tapped in. Anything you need, please let us know, as far as promotion wise and all of that. We want to cover all of this and keep promoting not just you as a brand and a skills camp and a coach, but just all the message you have behind you and the backing you have. So
I appreciate you having me on here too, man. And hopefully people, you know, tap in and, man, trying to keep everything here in the city, man.
Yes, sir. Come on. It goes better when it's organic. We got too much talent in our backyard for us not to show it off. But other than that, it's been a wrap. We're going to wrap up this episode. Thank y'all for watching. One more time, hit that like button, share, subscribe. Tell your mama, your daddy, tell your auntie this is her favorite podcast. And if she got a nephew that want to come hoop, y'all know where they can enroll them in. You feel me? From Bracey Skills
Camp. Man.
Where can they follow you at?
Bracey Skills Clinics on Instagram. Brandon Bracey on Twitter. I got a YouTube channel as well. Bracey Skills Clinics YouTube. You can find me on there. Yeah.
Come on, man. Stay tapped in. Thank y'all for watching wherever you have been. This has been another great episode of What's the Wave. Thank you, Mr. Bracy, Coach Bracy.
Appreciate it.
Himself, and we'll see y'all next week. Right on, right on. Like the blunt, my nigga. Pass his beat to the left so I could press.